This is the My Natural Beat Podcast, Episode 5. I am Cookie, your host. The My Natural Beat Podcast inspires and encourages exploration of the world and of your mind, body, and spirit, whilst celebrating and connecting strong, courageous individuals full of moxie from around the world, one conversation at a time. Today we welcome Tila Hamill of TilaHamill.com. Tila is a rewild coach, and she does one-on-one coaching, and she also teaches yoga and meditation. She's been featured in Elephant Journal, Karma Canopy, Yoga, and the Yoga Design Lab. Tila is also a writer. I hope that you'll enjoy this episode and that you'll take something from it. Tila had a lot to share with us about rewilding, how she got into rewilding, and her experience with Bell's palsy. Tila shared with us what she learned from having Bell's palsy in a foreign country and how it led her to have more body awareness than ever before. She teaches others how to access and embody their human experience by using their humanity, body, and senses. While it sounds simple, in her work, Tila dives deeper and helps her clients get to the core of where they feel fear and where they might be holding on to restrictive beliefs. Tila is a seeker who encourages us to always follow our enthusiasm and to never ignore it, no matter how silly it might seem to you or someone else. She says that when you follow your enthusiasm, your life seems to blossom. Her fundamental message is that you belong here, and that when we fully embrace our humanity, we come home to ourselves, to our ancient body wisdom, and to our soul's voice of being alive. So with that, I hope you've liked the show. We shared many laughs. And before we get to the show, I would like to give a big thanks to the guys in the band Nonstop out of Boulder, Colorado. I would like to thank you guys for letting me use your music in my intro and concluding music. The song is called Instant Gratification, for those of you who are wondering. If you're listening to the podcast via Facebook, check out their Facebook page at Nonstop. That is capital N-A apostrophe A-N space stop. If you're listening online, be sure to check out their website. It's www.naanstopmusic.com. And if you're listening via iTunes, check them out at Nonstop. That's capital N-A apostrophe A-N space stop. So with that, let's get to the show. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hi. I'm sorry, I didn't have my headphones in.
No. Don't worry. Don't worry. You can hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly.
Cool. Well, thank you for calling.
She's welcome.
Well, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on. Before we get started, we would love to know which town and country you're sitting in today.
So right now I am in Lansing, Iowa in the United States.
Okay, and Are you visiting? Do you live there?
I am visiting right now. So this is my hometown, actually. It's a little town right on the river. I'm visiting. I'll be here for about a month, the month of June. I just got back from Boulder, Colorado.
Okay, great. Great. So you grew up in Iowa?
Yeah.
Do you like it there?
In Iowa, I actually really love Iowa. Growing up, there were times when I was like, oh man, this place is boring. But I think that I pretty much had the perfect childhood right on the Mississippi River. We're in a really small town of 1,000 people. It's really rural. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of time in nature. My grandpa had a farm.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's really neat. I had no idea. Where you're from. Well, cool. So tell us also who you are and how you spend your days.
Okay, awesome. So My name is Tila Hamel, and I'm a rewilding coach. And how do I spend my days? Okay, awesome. So these are like really cool open-ended questions. So one of the coolest things about my life right now is that I get to completely create my days just doing whatever really feels right for me. And that's pretty freaking awesome. So I usually, the way that I like to organize a day, for example, would be waking up usually when I want to wake up. That's usually like when the sun comes in and I'm feeling like, okay, I'm ready to get this day started. So I really don't like waking up with an alarm, kind of being jarred out of sleep. And then I usually go for a walk, end up walking my dogs, so moving my body around a little bit, then having like a green smoothie. And I usually have client calls in the afternoon, but I like to break my day up with like little bits of dancing. I really, really like to be goofy. So my days are spent just like doing client calls as a rewilding coach, writing, because I'm also a writer, and then breaking my days up with little bits of movement and like singing and being goofy.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to be in nature for at least, at the very minimum, half an hour a day, but I really like to be in nature for longer than that. Just being outside and right. being present right. while I'm there.
Now, you are a rewilding coach. Can you sort of break that down or explain to us what rewilding is and how you coach it?
Yeah. So people are often really interested in like, what is rewilding? And so I'm a rewilding coach. So what does that mean? So let's start with what rewilding is. So what rewilding is a term that was first used to talk about returning landscapes to an uncultivated space, or even an animal that had been like domesticated to a more wild state. So when I first came across the term rewilding, I kind of came to the term rewilding before I really knew what it meant. Mm-hmm. And so as I had been working with clients, it occurred to me that really what I was trying to do, it wasn't trying to help people get more money or have better relationships or even be more fit or anything like that. What I really wanted was to help people have more access to their human experience, and that's it. It wasn't even about being happy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so when it really came down to it, I realized that like what I really wanted to offer the world as my service was rewilding, and that was the term that fit best. So basically what rewilding is for me, mm-hmm. so we've got like what it is, the word, and what it means to me is basically coming home to yourself and to this planet and really embracing your human experience. So, and also like recognizing that there's nothing outside of you that's any more wild than what's inside. So that we have this entire wilderness within ourselves, this entire wild aspect. Mm-hmm. And humans are a little bit scared of like the wilderness, the darkness, all of those things. But when we can recognize and embrace that within ourselves, things just change so much.
Wow. what a ginormous concept. And also... maybe not concept, but just idea. I mean, that everything outside of us is within us, and we need to sort of become friendly with that.
Instead, I like that. Become friendly with it
instead of being scared of it or just not using it.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
I had read a little bit about your background, and you had done, I believe you graduated from school, and then you were in a master's program?
So I graduated, and then I applied to a master's program, and I got in.
Okay.
And then I was given a year in between because I wanted to make some money to pay for my tuition.
Okay.
So I hadn't started the program yet.
Okay. And tell me just briefly what the program was about and then sort of maybe a little timeline of when that was to where you are now. So we can kind of...
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's a long time period, but if you can.
Okay. I would love to do that. So, this could be, should I do a little snippet or should I really like kind of give us some details?
Up to you. Do what feels most comfortable and natural for you.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. So you brought us to a really cool place. So I had graduated from college. I worked really hard in college, graduated with honors. I had done a lot of extracurricular activities. I'd pretty much had the college experience that I think anybody would hope for. Got into a really good grad program at Northwestern in Chicago. So that was awesome. It was pretty prestigious. I was all excited. My family was really proud of me. It's like, oh, you know, like, heck yeah, I'm doing this. I'm going into adulthood, like doing everything right.
And before you continue, what did you study in your undergrad?
Okay, in my undergrad, I studied journalism, and then, so I studied three things. Journalism, international studies, and also psychology.
Okay, cool.
I started off wanting to study anthropology, but then I thought, what am I going to do with that degree? Like, how will I make any money?
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up thinking I'm going to go down a more traditional route and become, I wanted to do like research, psychological and neurobiological research.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I went with things. So I was accepted into the program, and then I took a year in between to make some money, and they held my spot.
Mm-hmm.
So on this year, this is just, it's so crazy how everything like changes. It's like, oh, my poor mom at this time. You know, it seemed like everything was going perfectly for me. But then in this year, I got all these jobs, exactly what I wanted. Everything was like exactly what I'd wanted. I'd gotten these jobs. I was working in research at a hospital. And then I was also like, I was working as an assistant in some other psychological research center places. So I had these three jobs and they were all hard to get. And I was pretty proud of them. And I also was feeling every day like, is this it? Like, what? This is like, and I know so many of us feel that way, especially after college, because you work so hard and you're, what? Okay. And I also had a boyfriend at the time that I really loved. I completely adored him. So there wasn't too much that I could ask for. And yet I was still like, like, this is definitely not I don't feel like satisfied with this. I don't feel like I'm actually living, but I also didn't have really a concept for what it would be like to live. I'd spent a lot of times focused on getting really good grades. And and to be honest, a lot of time I probably focused on like the image of who I was rather than who I really was. So to transition from this spot, I'd made a bucket list of wanting to visit a new country each year. So I started traveling on my own at 19.
Mm-hmm.
So at this time, I was, 23. I was 24. And so I decided that my country that year was going to be Peru. Because I didn't have a lot of money, and tickets were pretty cheap to Lima, and I really wanted to go to the Sacred Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Because this whole, throughout most of my life, I'd also been like a seeker. So kind of always putting a lot of emphasis on grades and all of those kinds of things, but also then in the back of my mind, it's like the seeking was also happening. So I decided that I wanted to go to Peru, and that it wasn't just going to go there for like a week. I was actually going to go there for a month, which was surprising to everyone because they're like, what are you going to do with your jobs? I was like, well, actually, I'm going to quit them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? You're going to quit all three of your jobs to go to Peru for a month? Like, what? Are you crazy? And it was at a time where the economy wasn't that great either.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of pushback. A lot of people were like, what are you doing? You have this is crazy. But I ended up just being really brave about it and feeling into my intuition. And I was able to justify it because I was going to work at a school to do some research on autism there. So okay. I was like, you know, guys, like, this makes sense. This is a good idea. It's totally fine if I quit my jobs right now. Like, I'm sure everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going to Peru. And this is where things, like, really just completely take a 180 and change for me. It's, like, the very first day that I landed in Peru and I ended up, like, walking to the apartment that I was staying at. I can't, it's hard to put into words, but the rhythm of South America is so much different than the United States that it completely, like, it shook me into my body. For the first time ever, I felt like I'd had my nose in a book my whole life, and all of a sudden something just slapped the book out of my hands. Mm-hmm. I was reading a book about how to be human, and all of a sudden I was just, like, kind of bowled over with, like, holy crap, I am human. And I'm, for the first time ever, having a human experience here. Like, it was one of those, I wish I could be more explicit about what it was in that moment that pushed me into that, but I think that it was just such an unexpected thing. I didn't have my guard up in any way. I didn't expect to land there and have a feeling of, like, being in my body for the first time ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's basically what happened, is that I didn't stay that way. It's not that I, oh my gosh, I landed in Peru and all of a sudden I'm embodied. It was like I got to Peru and I had a glimpse of something that was completely different than I've ever felt before, and that was experiencing myself and other human beings embracing their human experience rather than living just, like, right outside of that experience all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that brings us to Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good? Is this, like, are we good on, let's all keep going.
Girlfriend. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. It's so exciting to be able to tell this story.
And yes, please share it.
Yeah, I love telling it, to be honest, because it's such an exciting time in my life, and it changed everything for me. So I went to Peru for that month, and while I was in Peru, I stayed with my goals of grad school and everything. I even got a new job while I was in Peru. I'd done interviewing, like, online with a new research center in Colorado. So I ended up coming back, and I already had a job right when I returned. And so I came back, and I was in Denver, Colorado, which I was thinking, oh, this is different than Iowa, so this should be cool. But there was something that was just, like, really calling to me, really, really calling to me. I got back in that July, and by December of that year, I was like, oh, I really, really wanted to go back to South America. It was like, it's like everything in my body, like all of my cells were kind of just moved toward whatever direction South America was in at all times. Just like, I was just leaning that way, like as much as possible. And so I've got this job in this lab. It also was a difficult job to get, so I was proud of myself. My family was proud. One day I jump on Craigslist and I'm like looking at jobs and sort of not expecting anything, but it happens that Yahoo is looking for an editor and you can work from wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a journalism degree and I'd been writing also for pay since I was 15. So I thought, why not? I ended up applying for it and I ended up getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd met while I was in Peru, I had met somebody from Ecuador. And he was just completely lit up, like he had a million light bulbs in his mouth that every time he smiled, it was like you felt like the whole world, like the sun had just come up millions of times over the world.
Uh-huh.
So he was this person that I'd met, and I was like, okay, I think Ecuador is a place that I could go, and I know somebody there. And So within like 7 months of returning home from the U.S., I went to Ecuador. So we're getting into the point where I really kind of come, I start doing my own rewilding work within myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to Ecuador. It was difficult. It was like, there were a lot of unexpected challenges. I mean, with the language, I spoke just very minimal Spanish. So I felt a lot of loneliness at first. I had yeah, there was just like, there were a lot of difficulties, a lot of excitement and a lot of difficulties. I wasn't experiencing the same like, holy cow, I'm embodied right now kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I definitely had my doubts about what have you done? Like, is this, you know, what's going to happen with the grad program? Like, okay, you just definitely, it was definitely like a leap and hopefully the net will appear, but I'm still free falling at this point, not really knowing what is going to happen. And then it turns out that I end up moving from Guayaquil, which is a huge city in Ecuador, that wasn't like my favorite place ever to live, to a small town on the coast called Montanita. I get there the first day and I'm like, holy cow, this is completely amazing. I have this like really cute little house that I'm renting right now. I'm on the beach. There are all these people like doing yoga and surfing. Like, this couldn't be better. I go for a swim in the ocean. I get back and I take a shower and I get out of the shower. And as I'm putting my lip balm on, I notice that I can't put my lips together. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? This is really strange. At first, I thought it was funny. Like, what is going on here? But then I go into the bathroom and I look into the mirror and I see that one side of my face, I blink and only one eye blinks. I'm like, what? And so then I realized that one side of my face was completely paralyzed, which I thought at first that I was having a stroke, but very quickly I learned that it was Bell's palsy. So Bell's palsy is something that can come on for lots of reasons. It can be a virus. It can be stress. Like, oftentimes they don't really know what happens. But usually you do regain full functioning in the side of your face that's paralyzed. But it's pretty scary. So I ended up just like a few months into Ecuador having Bell's palsy. I wasn't speaking Spanish, so I was relying on my smile, which I no longer had. I was now had a speech impediment where I couldn't say P's or B's or really any other letter that required for me to put my lips together. I drooled. I wore a patch over my eye. I'd gone from basically on the outside having a life that looked pretty perfect and put together, and which was actually pretty superficial. I wasn't even really aware of it, to having a moment where the way that the outside world experienced me was like, adults were usually respectful, children were more, you know, kind of like pointing and asking their parents like what was going on with me. And so I spent about a month in this state. And when you have Bell's palsy, like, you don't know when you might get functioning back or if you ever will. So what really happened for me during that time is that I ended up going really deep inside of myself, because having a part of your body paralyzed, it's really interesting because you see how your brain is telling your muscles to do something and how they're not doing it. So you have a really more acute awareness of how that messaging kind of works. And it ended up for me that the deeper that I went into that and the deeper that I connected with, like, how can I have my brain give my face a message and have my face react? What ended up happening is I just became really, really aware of my body, and it so aware that I actually felt, that sounds crazy, but I actually really felt how much my cells loved me and how much they wanted to support my life and how hard they were working. Like they were just cheering for me and they were just all trying so hard. I felt just an overwhelming sense of love from my body at that time, from every little cell in my body. So it was such a profound experience, because even as I'm having my face paralyzed and my family really worried about me in the United States and calling me and wanting me to come home to get all these like treatments from doctors in the US, I was experiencing like a really profound sense of peace. And what's more is that there's a train going by. I don't know if you can hear it.
It's okay. I heard a little honk.
We're right on the river, so sometimes those little trains get feisty with their horns. So so the other aspect of what happened when I had Bell's palsy was that because it was very difficult for me to communicate with human beings at this time. I ended up spending a lot of time in nature. And the time that I spent in nature also changed everything for me. Mm-hmm. I ended up spending a lot of quiet time with plants and animals and connecting with them in a way that I had never dreamt was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, this really laid the foundation of what my rewilding work is. It's like, that was the moment. It was intense, and I kind of got slapped into it. But that was, I'm so thankful for it now, because it just changed everything for me. It connected me with my body in a really profound way, and it was the, like, impetus for the relationship that I now have with the rest of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's a really, so from that point, I end up getting a little crazy in some people's eyes, but I end up having 10 horses, and I end up, like, over the course of, like, the almost 5 years I was in Ecuador, I had, like, 36 animals that I had cared for.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, had a little pig. I still have all of these animals as well. They're down there. They have caretakers, but...
Yeah.
So yeah, everything, things just changed for me so much in that moment, and that's where I kind of came home to myself. I started coming home to the planet, and also at the same time, I had gotten, like, bags of clothing stolen from me, which was really interesting. So it's almost like I had everything that I could cling to externally, like, ripped out from underneath me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have, friends gave me clothes, but they didn't fit. My face was I couldn't express anything via my face.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that I had to, like, I really just had to go inside over and over and over again. And about a month into it, I started to regain access to all those muscles, and my face returned completely to normal, but I never did. From that time forward, like, the relationship that I ended up having with myself and the planet, it started right away with just not being able to go out and buy new clothes right away unless I knew how it was affecting the planet, knew where they came from, like, who was making, like, all of that kind of stuff. So that just, like, changed for me right away.
All right. So you were in Peru, you were in Ecuador for 5 years, and then you returned... I mean, I don't know where we are in the timeline of 5 years ago from today, not today, but 5 years from this year, or...
5 years from, like, four and a half years from, like, a year ago.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So in the meantime, have you been back in the U.S.?
So I came back to the U.S. every 6 months, and I spent about a month back here because I have a little sister... Mm-hmm. Who, she's 17 now, but I really wanted to be a part of her growing up.
Okay.
And that was always really challenging every time I came back to the U.S., as you can probably imagine.
Yeah, yeah. You miss your kin.
Yeah. It was hard to live away, and it was hard to come back as well, because I was transforming so much that each time I came back, I think my family and my friends experienced me as more myself than ever.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the more that I became connected with my humanity and embracing this planet and embracing my body, the more evident that it was to me that people, especially in the U.S., and in North America, are like, wow, are having a really hard time kind of moving outside of their headspace and getting into their bodies.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, to kind of summarize your experience, it all sort of led to where you are today and your work with rewilding in your coaching work. So I always find it so interesting and amazing how, you know, that experience you were going through, although at the time it seemed, you know, what is going on with my face? Why did someone just steal my clothes? It it made you, it changed you, and it led you to where you are today. And from those experiences, you learned tools and different things that you're now teaching. So I think it's amazing. I really think these full circles, and the circle, I don't know if it's the circle continues or the circle gets bigger or other circles form, but you know, it's very full circle, I think, to hear your story.
I agree with that. I like that image.
Yeah. I do too. I see some circles.
Me too. Like that. Yes. That's perfect. Exactly right.
And so, yeah. So the theme of the podcast is My Natural Beat. And it doesn't mean my natural beat. It means, I mean, my's in there, but really it's about a natural beat. It's being yourself. It's being true to you. And so these questions are going to shed light on your natural beat and where you are. And so take them as you like. And okay. we can go with them. So my first question is, how do you explore the world?
Ooh, I like that question.
And I don't know what it means to you, or obviously it's important, traveling. Yeah. So how do you explore the world in whatever way, in whatever meaning that is to you?
I love that. So I love that you just used the word explore, because I think that when we come at life from a place of exploration, everything is so much more exciting. It's like we're always on an adventure. So I would say that I explore the world in an everyday way by doing what I can to have as much access to my human experience as possible. Mm-hmm. And by making even the smallest things within my day, whether it's eating and like having my eyes closed so that I can really have an experience of that, or moving in a way that feels really good, making even those small experiences an exploration of my humanity and of my body and of my senses. So I would say I explore the world in those really small everyday ways.
Like, yes.
All the time.
Great. All the time in every small little experience. I think that's great. Everywhere we go, we're on the world and we're a part of it. So, yeah. Do you have any travels up? Well, I do know you have a travel coming up,
yeah.
Which I want you to talk about. So, do you want to talk about it now or at the end?
I can talk about it a little bit now, and if you have more questions at the end, you can ask me.
Perfect. Okay.
So my next travel coming up is going to be to Norway, to the very northern tip of Norway above the Arctic Circle. I'm super excited. I'm hosting a rewilding retreat on July 13th for 5 days and 5 nights. And we're going to be working with a Sami shaman woman. And so we'll be doing a lot of rewilding work and having some really cool ceremonies, exploring our forgotten roots and listening for those like ancient whisperings of wisdom, and just having a nonstop nature, kind of celebrating our human experience, celebrating our bodies. I'm so excited for this trip coming up. I don't know if I've ever been excited for a trip. I don't think so. This is the most excited I've ever been. So it's going to be, we'll be doing yoga and stuff as well. I'm also a yoga instructor. So while I lived in Ecuador, I taught at a studio there. And I took 3 yoga teacher trainings while I was there.
Cool.
So, yeah. So it's going to be yoga and rewilding and working with the indigenous people of Northern Europe, and especially this one Sami shaman woman who's absolutely incredible. Yeah, and a lot of sisterhood. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, yes. I'm very excited to hear how it goes. I know I know you're excited, and there's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
And my next question is, how do you explore your mind?
Ooh, how to explore my mind. This is a really interesting one because we often, so what came up for me immediately there were like belief systems and thought patterns and conditioning. So it's so crazy how much of our behavior is, it comes from these places that it's not like a present moment decision that we're making. It's conditioning from our past, or we're operating within a certain belief system. And when we can kind of just like lift that belief system off, we experience a sense of freedom that's like oftentimes completely profound. So in the way that I explore my mind, so as a writer, I love to get into story. So that's one way. But then as a coach, what I really like to do is to go deeper and deeper and deeper into where the seed of fear that might be held is, or to be able to recognize like what is the belief system. So I'm almost like, as I'm saying this, like the vision that I'm getting in my head is like, what is the, it's almost like a building or like a cage over a thought or something. So it's the way a person tells a story to themselves based on what they're believing. So I guess that's one way that I explore the mind as well, to just kind of check out like where we're restricting ourselves and where we're putting circles into boxes. So I would say that's one way, but I also have a meditation practice, and I teach meditation. So I would also really love like that sort of exploration where you're kind of, it's not really going into the mind, it's connecting with the breath, but oftentimes you kind of have some veils that lift within the mind and maybe find yourself at that seat of consciousness. So, does that make sense?
It makes sense.
I kind of went a lot of different places with that right there.
No, it's, I mean, that's your exploration. That's you. And how do you explore your body? I know you mentioned that you practice yoga, you teach yoga, but whether it's in how you eat or how you try different things, your movement.
Okay, I love this one. So how do I explore my body? Oh, I think that like the exploration of the physical form is one of the most important adventures that any of us can be on right now as human beings. The ways that I explore my body, yeah, definitely like you said, through yoga and being really present. I love to dance, it's not that I'm a good dancer or anything either, but to feel the way that rhythm moves my body. So as much as I can, moving my awareness away from my head and down into my body and feel the way that I'm moved and pulled, and I'm just like, oh, it's really exciting. Like, what's happening? What is it that my body wants to do right now? And then listening to that, because you'll find out a lot by just tuning in with your body. I also like to make decisions from a place of, like, one thing I really like to do is do a coin flip trick where I ask myself a question and then I flip a coin to see yes or no, should I do it? And then I listen to the reaction of my body. So we'll often get like, you know, my heart might leap or fall or my stomach might jump. And that's a really cool way to explore my body as well.
To help you with making decisions.
There's also, so as far as eating goes, I've been a vegetarian for the last 6 years. So I eat obviously really, really plant-based, and I love to, and that's another thing, it's just being really present with your body and seeing what you're drawn to, letting life be this really exciting adventure of exploration. Like letting yourself go to the supermarket or open the fridge and kind of asking like your body what it wants and seeing where it leans or where it reaches, and just giving it, recognizing it more and respecting it more. So that's a, is that, I could literally go on forever with any of these awesome questions. They're like the most exciting questions ever. So,
Yeah, they're great. I'd love to hear your response. I think it's great, you know, from there's so many ways to explore the body. So I really like to hear how you do it.
And, I also,
yeah,
I don't know if I do think also with the body, like the experience of sensuality, which doesn't necessarily have to be sexual, but a lot of times it is. Mm-hmm. But that whole aspect, like having a relationship with oneself, where you can have sensual experiences with yourself, I've found to be extremely powerful as well, and like a really awesome way to explore the body. So that's my last little thing on exploration of the body.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And how do you explore your spirit?
Is there going to be a soul question too, or?
I don't have a soul question.
Okay.
But so you can take it as you like. You can add it in. You can.
Okay.
Yeah. However you prefer.
Okay. I love that. Okay. So I ask that because usually I differentiate between like spirit and soul, and spirit is kind of this like universal, all loving, like oneness presence. And soul is kind of more my own unique, like spark of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm kind of just going to glob those two together. How do I explore like those divine aspects of my nature and like who I really am? I think, okay, let me feel into this for a second so I don't like so I don't get, I'm like so excited about that question. I have a huge smile on my face right now. So I said I've always been a seeker. I like to explore like soul or spirit through creation in my writing. So that's one way that I really feel connected to that aspect of who I am, and by following my enthusiasm. So any sort of thing that I do that I feel is creative, and anything that I do from a place of enthusiasm, which is the way I try to live my life, I try to be led by enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is a really interesting word because in its roots, it means to be like full of the divine. And I think when we get more connected with our enthusiasm and follow that, our lives become completely magical and completely lit up with spirit. So by following my enthusiasm in even the tiniest ways, I think that that's the way that I most fully explore spirit and connect with that aspect of myself.
That is so cool. I did not know the origin of enthusiasm. And it, thinking about it, you kind of, you know, when you're so focused on a task, or you're so, your whole body is and brain are, you know, facing in one direction and really, really focused, it's kind of sort of, maybe you're working, or maybe you're studying. I just take that as an example. And I don't know if you're so enthusiastic to be studying, but it's that, it's that sort of like full body focus, maybe.
Yes.
Semi. I mean, there's a distinction, but it's kind of similar. So I think that's really interesting. I had never thought about that before.
Oh yeah, it is. It's that full body to be infused, I think, is the actual, to be infused with the divine.
Yeah.
Like this whole body kind of thing.
Whoa.
Yeah. Woo. Pretty exciting.
And so if a listener is thinking, you know, that they want to become more familiar with their human experience, and I know that on the surface that sounds a little silly, but I mean, like, we're all human, we're all here right now, but more in the rewilding aspect, what advice would you say to them about, you know, learning how to rewild and living this sort of lifestyle? What are some easy ways that they could incorporate, ways or habits or practices they could incorporate into their daily life?
Okay, so something little. So you are right, it sounds super silly to like, oh, how can I connect more with my humanity? You are human. And that's the thing. Like, when you can be present, holy cow, you will experience heaven on earth. Like, being fully present, and being completely within your human experience, it sounds like the simplest thing ever, but that, oh my gosh. But how? So how can we go there? So some of the littlest things that I recommend to my clients are move your body, dance, just a minute. One of my favorite things to recommend is before or after a shower, so completely naked, for 1 minute, put a song on your ear and dance. Just so dancing, also making noises. Sometimes when we're angry or we're sad, we'll feel in our throat, we'll feel that something wants to come out. And so we've got this like this tightness in our throat. And what if we didn't have to put that into words? Because sometimes when we put it into words, it doesn't make much sense anyway. But what if we just made sounds? What if we just, I'm really angry and I'm like, and I'm kind of letting things out that way. That's another way to really come into your human experience. And another good way is, so we've got these senses. I would argue that we have a lot more than five senses, but right now we'll say we have five senses. We really focus on the visual. As much as we can, engaging our other senses. So whether that means closing our eyes when we eat or really smelling things, really, even you would be so surprised about how your relationship might change with your romantic partner when you actually like go to their neck and smell them. Really smell them. It's crazy. It's, oh my God. So these things, they sound so silly, like, okay, what is that really going to do for me? But things start to change. The way that you experience your reality and your humanity starts to change. And those are some tiny things that you can do.
Ooh, thank you for those tidbits. Oh, it's great that you share them. And so as we kind of round out the conversation, I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite go-to routine, habit, activity, behavior that, if not always, almost always leaves you feeling in your natural beat?
Okay. What is my favorite one?
Or one that is most commonly used, or just something that...
So being in nature, honestly, just being outside and just being outside. Being outside, and if I have even a tiny space where I can, like, run as fast as I can. I don't know that many adults who can even really say, unless they're runners, the last time they ran as fast as they could.
Mm-hmm.
That will always, no matter what's going on in my life, if I get outside and I give myself a moment to unleash and just even for 10 seconds run and maybe scream, mm-hmm. as crazy as I might look to everybody else, it will always bring me back into my body, and it will always bring me back into, like, all right, I've got this. Like, I'm at home in my body. I'm at home on this planet. Like, I belong here. So
cool. So taking a sprint dash.
Yeah.
A sprint dash.
sounds pretty silly. I have all these other things that I do, but when I'm thinking about the one thing that always brings me back, it's that.
It's a sprint dash and a scream.
It's a sprint dash and a scream, totally. And a maybe laying down then in the grass. I'm just like, okay, sprint dash, scream, lay down.
Sprint. I can't even say it fast anymore. Sprint dash scream grass.
Yeah, oh, that's so good. Give me my next tagline. This is all you gotta do. Life works out for you.
Oh my gosh. Well, this has been so nice. I really am smiling in my face.
So, I love that you're smiling in your face.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you taking the time and being open to sharing a little bit with us on the podcast. And I don't know. Is there anything else, any last words of wisdom or anything else you would like to share? Do you want to talk a little bit about where you can find your work and you?
Yeah. Okay, so my last little bits of wisdom is what I've already said. It's just like, if you feel any sort of enthusiasm whatsoever, do not ignore it. Do not ignore it, no matter how silly that it seems to you or anybody else. Like, follow that. And that's when life will really start to bloom for you. Get into your body, follow your enthusiasm. And you belong here. You belong here. I know so many of us feel like we don't belong anywhere, not even in our body, but that's not true. And once we can really feel into that, holy cow, like, things are exciting. Okay, so that's my little wrap up. And
I love it.
I got really intense there for a second. And you can find my work at my website, www.teelahamel.com, and it's spelled TEELAHAMMELL. And then you can also find me with that same name on Facebook, where I do a lot of public sharing of my works. I'm also a writer, so I make like frequent content that way as well.
Cool. Very cool. I think we've got a wrap. Was that
fun?
Thank
you so much. This has been absolutely wonderful. I've enjoyed your energy so much on this call.
That was Teela Hamel. If you want to know more about her and her work, the show memo on mynaturalbeat.com contains all of the essentials from the episode and links to check it out. If you like the show, please consider leaving a review on iTunes and or sharing it with your friends and family. That way more people can be inspired to be in their natural beat. In the meantime, continue to explore the world and your mind, body, and spirit, and may you continue to dance to the tune of your natural beat.